This is VOA News via remote. I'm Tommy McNeil. Panic at an Indonesian soccer match has left 174 people dead, minimally, most of whom were trampled to death after police fired tear gas to dispel riots. East Java's Vice Governor Emil Dardak said Sunday that 100 more are being treated for injuries and 11 of them are in critical condition. Riots broke out after the game ended Saturday evening with host Tarima FC of East Havis Malang, a city losing to Persebaya of Surabaya 3-2. The rioting spread across and outside the stadium where at least five police vehicles were toppled and set ablaze. Riot police responded by firing tear gas, which is banned at soccer stadiums by FIFA. And that sent hundreds of fans running for the exits. Saturday's match is one of the deadliest sports events in the world. Meanwhile, in the Congo, the humanitarian workers say hunger is now soaring in eastern Congo after months of fighting between M23 rebels and the army. An internal draft assessment by aid groups seen by the Associated Press says that nearly 260,000 people are now facing extreme food insecurity in two territories, but only 10% of those targeted by aid groups this year receive the full recommended food assistance. That's because of a lack of funds and security concerns that has restricted access to some areas. Health staff at one hospital said that the number of severely malnourished children had nearly tripled between April to July. This is VOA News. After being encircled by Ukrainian forces, Russia has now pulled troops out from an eastern Ukrainian city that it had been using as a frontline hub. It was the latest victory for the Ukrainian counteroffensive that has humiliated and angered the Kremlin. Russia's withdrawal from Lyman complicates its internationally vilified declaration just a day earlier that it had annexed four regions of Ukraine, an area that includes Lyman. Taking the city paves the way for Ukrainian troops to potentially push further into land that Moscow now illegally claims as its own. Russian forces blindfolded and detained the head of Europe's largest nuclear plant. Ukraine's nuclear power provider said Saturday, reigniting long simmering fears over the plant security. The alleged kidnapping on Friday apparently took place shortly after Russian President Vladimir Putin escalated his war in Ukraine and pushed it into a new dangerous phase by annexing four Ukrainian regions that Moscow fully or partially controls and heightening threats of the nuclear force. In a possible attempt to secure Moscow's hold on the newly annexed territory, Russian forces seized the director general of the Zaporizhia nuclear power plant, Ihor Murashov, around 4 o'clock Friday afternoon. That's according to the Ukrainian state nuclear company. Putin on Friday signed treaties to absorb the Luhansk, Donetsk, Kherson, and Zaporizhia regions of Ukraine, including the area around the nuclear power plant. In a rare softening of hostile relations, Venezuela freed Saturday seven imprisoned Americans in exchange for the United States releasing two nephews of President Nicolas Maduro's wife, who had been jailed for years on narcotics convictions. That swap of the Americans, including five oil executives held for nearly 5 years, follows months of back-channel diplomacy by senior U.S. officials, secretive talks with a major oil producer that looks on greater urgency after sanctions on Russia put pressure on global energy prices. The deal amounts to an unusual gesture of goodwill by Maduro as a socialist leader, or as the socialist leader, looks to rebuild relations with the U.S. after vanquishing most of his domestic opponents. While the White House denied any change in policy toward Venezuela afoot, the freeing of Americans could create political space for the Biden administration to ease crippling oil sanctions on Venezuela if Maduro shows